Neither the House nor the Senate met the 90-day deadline in adjourning the session early this morning. But after a lot of pressure involving some of the most important issues that have been before them this year, they got the job done. APRN's Dave Donaldson reports.
The House and Senate began the final day of the session with members knowing it would be difficult and that a successful completion would hang on one vote in the House, a Senate bill separating oil and gas taxes. On the other side of the balance were four bills members of the House saw as having major importance to the state. The decisions would be bipartisan, and they would end up arising twice to keep the package from falling apart. House Finance Co-Chair Mike Hawker led the fight for what legislators, in their own lingo, call decoupling. That's the concern that the state's oil and gas taxes will dilute each other when gas begins to flow through a pipeline to North American markets. Hawker sees decoupling as essential protection for the state.
It is us providing an insurance policy against what is a very realistic scenario for calculating taxes in the future that could have resulted in us losing tax revenue as a result of commencing to export our natural gas resources.
Since the bill was introduced, the Parnell administration has argued just as strongly against it. That was enough to spread confusion among members about the merit of the bill. Anchorage Democrat Bob Book saw it as a tax increase.
I have no problem pushing the red button on this, saying I will not increase taxes on the oil companies.
And fellow Democrat Harry Crawford had heard the administration's argument that the bill would destroy an incentive needed to get the North Slope gas line started.
This bill could be the torpedo that sinks our chances for getting a gas pipeline.
It all came down to one vote that everyone had expected and no one was predicting. The first time around, it fell short by two members. The Senate immediately recessed its floor session so members could round up more House votes. It took several hours, but they found four, and after a second vote, with no debate, the tax change was sent to the governor. Meanwhile, the multi-billion-dollar capital projects budget continued to grow as House members added $76 million for a new crime lab. Eagle River Republican Bill Stoltz said it wasn't what he expected when he became finance co-chair.
It's a bigger budget than I am comfortable presenting, but one I'll be voting for. It's one that reflects needs of Alaskans because every member here is a representative of their communities.
Anchorage Democrat Mike Dugan did not support that bill. He put the total spending for the session, including money from the federal government and other sources, at $12 billion. That's in all the budgets combined.
What's happened, put simply, is we had a bunch of money and we spent it.
Dugan said the state cannot spend that much money forever. The budget passed, though, 30-10. The other key bill was the governor's merit-based scholarship. After he mentioned that a special session might be needed to get it on the books, members began to look for a compromise with the governor. His plan was passed, but the money for the scholarships will wait until next year. The governor says he's satisfied with that. Added to the final day's mix, incentives to encourage underground gas storage in Cook Inlet, disclosure requirements for corporate and union election advertising contributors, a plan to reimburse school districts for new construction, and a new development team with deadlines for a natural gas line to service Anchorage and the rail belt. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.